Hi, I'm Sam Smeltzer, and you're listening to the Heartworker Book Club podcast, where we talk about the powerful cultivation practice of reading and writing to inspire both personal and professional growth. We chat with authors about their stories, their books, and the art of the written word. Welcome to the club. I'm so happy you're here. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Heartworker Book Club podcast. I am so excited to be here with you today. And we are basically in our last two episodes before we're going to kick off the actual book club, who has been the entire total inspiration for this podcast episode series launch. Yeah. Because to be honest, I mean, books have always had a huge impact in my life, and they are just this wealth of wisdom. I do believe that maybe there's going to be a time where our inner wisdom is more attractive and maybe the books are less attractive. I don't know. That's not coming up on my radar anytime soon. So I love books. And when I had this book club that came together, which is Ben and Liza and Karen and Ryan, who was on last year's season, he's not back this season because of scheduling. But when we were having those conversations and me realizing how impactful this really is for everybody, and then hearing the collective kind of thoughts, it's just made me know, like, I know now that books are just this magical thing. And I find myself just constantly recommending books now. I attract people recommending books to me. We have a library here of over 500 books that are a collection of things that I've read and things that people have recommended, from everything from Chinese medicine, oriental teachings, to leadership, to business, to human resource management, theories, nutrition, yoga, spirituality, like everything that's in there. It's just a huge, nice collection. And that is an actual public library. So you can make an appointment and check out a book here if you want to have access to it, because I think books are just so powerful, and when we can refer them to each other and share the knowledge, it's amazing. And then when we can have a conversation with someone else who's read the same book, oh my gosh, there's just so many good things that come out of that. Anyway, so this year for Book Club, we're doing things a little bit differently. In the past, I've picked the books, and so it's been my way of selfishly getting through my book list. However, this year what we are doing is the book club picked the books. So each member actually picked a book, and they went through three different books. And it's been absolutely amazing. And if you listened to the episodes last year, you'll know that Liza, Karen, and Ben and myself are super different. And so the book selections reflect that 110%. And so I wanted to have an opportunity to share kind of my book lists and recommendations. Just twofold. Number one, to get them out there so that if you are interested, you can add these to your book list. But also number two, I think it reiterates the way that I read. So I think reading is a form of cultivation, number one. And I think there's an art to it. So I think there are some people who pick up one book and kind of just plow through it. I am somebody who has to marinate. So I got to read a couple of pages and then put it back down and really let it soak in. And through this process of really viewing reading as a cultivation practice, I have realized that when I pick up these books and then I read the next section, it's usually at the most perfect time. And also, I have learned that if I go back and read the book again, other things stand out. And so these books are just these constant kind of resources. In fact, sometimes I joke that other words have now shown up and disappeared, and these books kind of like morph, almost like what they do when I'm using like my Oracle decks. But anyways, so today we're talking about my nonfiction list, the top, I have a long list, but these are the top four that are actively being read or in the process of being close to being read. I actually have a fifth that has jump the pile. And we're going to talk about that process as well, because people are always going to be recommending books. And so I'm hoping that today I give you a tangible takeaway on how to tackle that and how to tackle that long list of books, because, you know, there's so much information in there. So like, how do you tackle it all? Anyways, so the first thing that I want to do is just kind of talk about how these books came into my life. And so the first book that I have on my list is called The Regenerative Life by Carol Sanford. She was a podcast guest on the Heart of It podcast, and she is amazing. She's written several kinds of books. Usually when I do have podcast guests, I usually do get their books regardless, because I want to see what they're putting out to the world. Carol in particular, as I'm slowly making my way through this book, I'm probably about halfway through now, reading just the intro, my gosh, like I had to pause because there was just so much that I was absorbing. There was so much that was so refreshing to hear. So Carol, this book, I basically read in small chunks, about 10 pages a day. But really what this is all about is exploring her entire concept of how we need to really look and make a systematic change about how we are approaching life and our expectations. This book I'm directly applying to business and leadership theory. I think that this is one of the books that I would put in the stack of the way of the future, along with The Infinite Game, The Slight Edge, I think, is more of a grounding kind of book. Then Think Again by Adam Grant, which is actually a book club selection that's coming up here that you're going to hear a lot about, but was completely a game changer for me. So there are these books that are slowly kind of just being piled that I would say I classify as business books and are just game changers. And Carol Sanford, this one is the book I'm actively reading. I think I have most of the others and I've read a couple of pages in them, and I just highly recommend. I mean, everything that she is sharing is just a breath of fresh air that I wish I had found sooner. So that's my first one on my stack, The Regenerative Life by Carol Sanford. The next book on my list is by Alan Watts. I was currently just finishing a book from him. It's called The Watercourse Way. It was one that I just finished. As I was reading it, I had someone who has been listening to the podcast reach out and actually say that the Alan Watts book called The Book was game-changing to him. It's the book on the taboo against knowing who you are. So as soon as I saw Alan Watts, I mean, I had been reading this book that I've been slowly digesting, I would say, for the last 8 months, even though it's a quick read. You could probably sit down and read it in an hour. I hadn't looked at his other books, and then this literally just kind of fell into my lap. And so I haven't opened this yet because I'm on like the last few pages of The Watercourse Way. But this is next on my list to read Alan Watts, and it was highly recommended. And there's just something about divine timing, you know, like when you're finishing one author and then all of a sudden somebody recommends the next one in the stack, like, why not? Let's follow it. The other one I have here is Heartmaster Triple Heater, Claude Larrey and Elizabeth Rochat de la Vallée. I think that's how you say it. I'm not sure. I know they're French. These books I absolutely love. They're the classics in Chinese medicine. This one specifically focused on Heartmaster Triple Heater. I have recently become very obsessed with the heart meridian and all the protective meridians associated with it, because I think this is where purpose, this is where our connection to our higher self, this is where it all lives. So I'm fascinated at the idea of doing tangible manifestation work with clients. So what these books are the classical oriental teachings, the classical oriental texts translated by these two writers, and they just do it beautifully. So I've read one on seven emotions, I have one on the five elements, and now I'm slowly working my way through on the organs. And so I'm about a third away through the Heartmaster Triple Heater. And just to kind of give you a taste of this, let me just read a section of it. So let me just read this section here that says, I think that it is much clearer if we take this not for the human being, but for the universe itself. If you take heaven as one part with earth facing heaven, you find fire and the sun in heaven and water on earth. Therefore, there is nothing higher between heaven and earth than fire and water. Then, if the human being is just combining heaven's power with earth's ability to receive, it is the fire of heaven and the water of earth which make the human. The triple heater affects this mixing of water and fire in the kidneys. It is easier to understand if you put that which pertains to the triple heater in a broader frame. So that's one paragraph in this book, and you can see that you can totally unpack this, and it's connected to so many things. And so that's why I go a little bit slower through these books. And Ellen Watts, I don't know how this book is, but The Watercourse Way was very similar in that fashion. So I think it's interesting. I mean, I would say that Alan Watts is probably a transition book, but essentially my stack have two pretty regular kind of books that you can kind of read and digest. And then I have two that are usually rooted in classical Oriental teaching. And that's because I'm new to all of this. So I've only been actively studying for 4 years, maybe five if you count when I started doing yin yoga and doing that certification, but I didn't fully understand how to digest that information. And so I really am just trying to absorb it up like a sponge. And the fact that it's all written in ways that is really hard for me to, you know, just skim through correctly. I gotta, like, there's a marinating process that has to occur. So that brings me to the last one, which is a classical Oriental text, The Art of War, by Sun Tzu. This book keeps coming back to me. It came back to me. It came to me actually a long time ago, where somebody recommended The Art of War. I thought that's what they recommended, but it was something else. So I ended up buying this book and realized that this was not what they were referencing, but was instantly kind of taken by it. So I then recently just went to the bookstore and they had this beautiful illustrated version of it. And so this has now come back into my book list. So here is an example. And I will also tell you that the format of this book really caught my attention because of Ben's pick for the book club. And when you see that book, it's not one that I would say, oh, this has got to go in the pile to be read. But Ben totally broke that and, like, busted that myth for me. So now these beautiful books are coming into my reading pile. So here's just a quick, like, little excerpt. I'm literally just opening the book because, like I said, these are my active reading lists. I haven't digested and fully can articulate. So this one says, deployment. Whilst you are unsure of victory, defend. When you are sure of victory, attack. The great generals of old first ensured that they themselves were beyond defeat, and then waited for the enemy to make themselves vulnerable. Thus we can say that although you have it in your own hands to place yourself beyond defeat, you cannot, of yourself, bring about the defeat of the enemy. Whilst you are unsure of victory, defend. When you are sure of victory, attack. Defense should indicate that you are not in a position to defeat the enemy. Attack that you are even stronger than you need to be. A skilled defender digs himself in deeper than the ninth level of the earth. A skilled attacker falls on the enemy from above the ninth level of heaven. In this way, you can both protect yourself completely and ensure total victory. So once again, this text, using it as inspiration for my work and these teachings, I mean, especially when I'm talking about classical Oriental teachings, these classic Chinese texts, they just come at this really perfect time. So those are my four picks there, and there's links to all of them down there if you're curious about what I'm reading, because I know there are a batch of people who are always interested in the Chinese medicine Oriental teaching aspect since they've discovered it through my work and kind of knowing how I'm easing into it. So that's there for you. And then others who are interested in how I'm expanding my mindset, like how do I gather all this information when you're hearing me articulating my outcomes? A lot of it comes from small digesting of books. And I'm saying small digesting. So it's not like, oh, I've read all of this. Now I've read a lot of books, but I take my time. So here's these four. And I wouldn't be surprised if they all get finished around the same time, or some might hang out longer than others. Like this could be next year and I could still be working through the triple heater. There's times where I've started and you know, make really good progress. And then there's times where I feel like I have to go back and reread because I feel like I missed something. And there's times where I just feel like I'm not in the right space to digest this for what I need. Because these books, nonfiction books for me, are for growth. They're for my personal and professional growth. And so if I can't be in a space to absorb that, I'm not going to. Now, I did say that there's a fifth book that kind of just showed up out of nowhere, and it's called Root Cause by Isabella Wentz. And I think, you know, this is a really good example of the power of books and why your reading list might change and life just kind of happens. And so if you've been following me for a long time, you know that I have been on a personal healing journey. In several capacities, starting out physically. I mean, if we look at how my healing journey has been classified over the last 8 years, it totally did start with me looking at myself physically, like most of us do, and questioning why things are a certain way. And it's been quite a journey. And obviously Chinese medicine and medical Qigong were in there. And now I've kind of begun working with, you know, I have a Western medicine support team. I'm working with some functional medicine doctors, but they have kind of come to the conclusion that they believe that this is an active kind of thyroid issue that's occurring. And so the last time I was with the doctor, she said, you write books, so you clearly like books. So why don't you read this Root Cause by Isabella Wentz, which is all about Hashimoto's, which is the diagnosis that I was given. And she talked about, you know, the implications of identifying root cause, which she's like, you're probably familiar with the work that we do in Chinese medicine and Oriental medicine is always trying to find that root cause. And so it's the same thing with this autoimmune disease. This book has been hard for me to digest because it is intimately personal. Even though I'm reading it for knowledge, this is a book that a doctor has identified is specific to my condition and my needs. It's also a condition that I don't know very much about, which is why she recommended the book. And so I literally have to take this like 5 pages a day and just kind of absorb it. But some of my other books have had to sit while this has happened because my health is very important to me. Number one, because my work, my family, wanting to take care of all these people that I love and the people that depend on me and wanting to be able to live life to the fullest. That's all I've really wanted when I started my health journey. And now I'm getting to a place where I can finally possibly make some tangible conclusions to feel better and to be better and to just be a more whole well-being. And so if reading this book is going to help with that, that's going to be a priority. So books are going to shift based off a priority. I'm also going to make a guess that as I'm working on completing my doctoral certificate in medical Qigong this fall, that my research there might dictate that I switch some of my books. I already have a couple of health books that have come up, like When the Body Says No, that talks about the impacts of stress on the body, which is really relevant to the work I'm doing on my doctoral certificate. So there's never any shortage of books that I have, and almost like a mini kind of basketball team where they like tag in and out. But if you're like, I'm talking about the book like it's a person, if you're on that list, you don't get permanently benched on a bookcase. You're always in this shelf kind of being rotated until I can get there. But there are some books that I have started that have shifted because of whatever reason. Like I said, there's usually two books that are pretty easy for me to digest that I are there. The regenerative life is one that was here and then got bumped because other things I had to read and now is back. So it's just interesting to look at how all of that kind of evolves. And so today was just really, you know, a chance to give you my picks. So these are my picks for nonfiction. If you want to dive into some nonfiction, based off of what Sam is reading. And if I had to pick four nonfiction reads to dive into with the book club, these would be my four for this year. Also encourage you to do that. You know, I think, next month I'm going to share with you my fiction list because I think that's a really healthy balance to have. But I also think it's really healthy to have these books because there's just something so great. And we spend way too much time on the screens. And so picking up a book and reading and it's warm outside or nice out, like reading outside, my gosh, there's nothing better. It's like a meditation full of wisdom. You know, you don't have to tune internally. You can just tune into the words of a good book. So that's it for me today. Thank you for joining me. Hope that you enjoyed listening to my little riff on how I manage nonfiction books and my recommendations for this year. And I'll be back next month as we tackle my recommendations for fiction that you can take with you on vacation, because that's where I take mine. And hear my thought process on fiction books, because it's a little bit different. And also to share with you that I was not reading them for a long time and why they made a comeback. So we'll talk about that next month. That's it for me. Have a great day and happy reading. Talk to you later. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Heartworker Book Club podcast. I hope that it served you. And if it did, the best way that you can support this podcast is by leaving a review on your favorite listening platform. And until next time, happy reading and writing.